1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Tonight, R.C. Collins, he's a young cadet at Bradley Military Academy, will be on to say that it could be basketball that's making our guys what he calls a little fluffy. And maybe hockey is what's needed to toughen up the American fighting man. And we also have Vernon Dozier, and there is absolutely no respect anymore for parents who actually know something about baseball in Little League, unlike the parents who don't know anything about baseball in Little League, notably the women who work in the snack shack. He's going to come on and say he's tired of getting ripped off by those women, not being able to make change, and you know what? I think that the women and the parents, you know, those the folks that volunteer for the snack shack in Little League, and they also do it in basketball games, high school football games. You got to tip your hat to them. You really do. But it is kind of a long process. I mean, I remember I was during the, you know, our guy's a senior now, and football is over. He'll be in college next year. But all through those years, the 4 years that he was playing football, I go down there to the snack shack. And there were the parents, and God bless them. But it was like,
and what do you want?
Yes, I'd like a Diet Coke.
All right, a Diet Coke? Is that in the large cups or the small? How do you make change?
You know, they're trying to figure out how the change is made. And,
okay, he's got a 10. Do I put that in drawer Z or drawer B?
Just give me the 10. Give him 2 5s. Then take those three.
All right. Diet Coke. What did you say? Diet Coke.
Or what are the little multicolored candies that everybody likes these days? Skittles. And bag of Skittles.
Bag of Skittles.
Bag of Skittles. Bag of Skittles.
Skittles? Is that all?
Yes, that's all I want. I'd like a box of the Krispy Kreme donuts. All right, this fat slob here wants a box. They were selling those Krispy Kreme at our kids' football game. That's all I needed. See, I can sit and eat a whole box of that and feel ashamed, feel very ashamed. If I'm in front of people, if I'm alone, I can eat a whole box of it, and yeah, I'll feel ashamed, but no one knows. Now, how am I going to go up to the grandstand with an entire box of Krispy Kreme donuts and just eat them all? Because I don't want to share them with my kids. The first thing that happens when you sit down in front of your kids, they want one. No. I want to have one. Why not? No. And then my wife, well, why can't the children have one? Because I want all of them. I want them all. You want all 12 of those donuts? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And that's what you would say if you were honest, but because we don't want to appear as if we're gluttonous sows, yes, of course you can have one, honey. Ha, ha, ha. And you get half of a donut, and you go home with low blood sugar violence. Can I have one? No, you may not.
Why not?
Because I don't want to give you one.
Why?
Because they're all mine, that's why.
You're kidding, right?
No.
Well, who would refuse a child?
Me.
But I'm a little kid who wants a donut.
You don't get one. I'm having all 12, I'm eating all 12, and they're mine. All mine. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We do have R.C. Collins and Vernon Dozier as our special guest tonight. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. We want to open our show tonight with a How to Read a News Story segment. We haven't done this in a while, and this is a fairly easy one to spot for those of us who are experienced at reading news stories. The reason why we do How to Read a News Story is simply this. Most of us are not educated at how to read the news because news reporting has changed. News reporting now, well, I shouldn't say it's changed. It's probably always been this way, but no one's really educated us as to how to spot it. News reporting is not objective because human beings by nature are not objective. They are always putting their spin, inserting their agenda, or somehow trying to, you know, turn the story in the direction that they would like you to go. A straight-on story about a man killing himself in the news today out of Columbus, Ohio, becomes one more reason to hate the war in Iraq and George Bush in the hands of a reporter for the Associated Press. What do I mean? Listen to this headline. And this was exactly the same headline that was in every single service that carried this story. New York Newsday is what I'm reading from, but you could look it up at Associated Press, you could look on Google, or you could look on Drudge, you could look on Yahoo. It's the same headline. Reservist commits suicide after return. Now, immediately, you're supposed to think, yes, this guy came back from Iraq so filled with guilt at murdering babies, Iraqi babies, that he then ate, that he came home, calmly sat down on his thin bunk, his thin little military bunk, pulled his service revolver from its holster, and blew his brains out of his head because of the horror and the terrible things that he did in Iraq. The story goes, an Army reservist who unsuccessfully fought city officials for an expected promotion after he returned from service in Afghanistan has committed suicide. Lieutenant Brandon Ratliff was upset after he couldn't afford to pay for an attorney to fight the city to get the job, according to an email sent from his account to the Columbus Dispatch newspaper. The newspaper said Ratliff was found dead in his home about 3 hours after the email was sent. Ratliff said he was promised a promotion and a raise in September 2002 before he left to serve in a medical unit in Afghanistan, but when he returned, the high-level job had been filled, and he was forced to resume his old job, which pays $4,000 less per year. Now, by law, employers must take back reservists returning from military service, with few exceptions. But Health Department spokesman Leon Egel said Ratliff didn't formally accept the promotion before his deployment, and the city believed it didn't have to hold the higher job for him. Well, this is all a very sad story. The man returned home. He returned home to his job, but it wasn't the promotion that he was hoping for. And it's a bad thing. There's a lot of guys coming home to that. And you know what? I know from the Gulf War that these veterans coming back, the pay situation for their families while they're abroad, something's got to be done about that. No doubt about it. But this guy obviously was mentally unstable. So you didn't get your promotion, so you got to come back to the old job. You got the old job. But instead, he sits down and he blows his brains out. Now, if I were headlining this, I would say unstable man kills himself after refusal of promotion.
Oh, you wouldn't put in that he's a reservist, would you, Mr. Hendry?
Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't put it in the headline. I'd put it in the body of the story because it's relevant to his job status. In other words, when he left, he had this job. When he came back, he had this job. What's in question is the promotion. Should he have gotten the promotion? It wasn't formally applied for, the company didn't, maybe the company's wrong, maybe they're being unfair. We're all treated unfairly at odd times by our companies, life being what it is, people being what it is. You move on. Either you get another job or you deal with it until you can find another job, or you somehow work it out with your employer. But if you're mentally deranged, and mentally deranged enough to do as J.T. Walsh did and A Few Good Men, put on your full dress uniform, then insert the barrel of a nickel-plated revolver into your mouth, and, you know, salute yourself in the mirror, whatever the hell those guys do, and pull the trigger with your thumb, then friends, neighbors, Farmer John, easternmost in quality, westernmost in flavor.
What?
Well, I don't know. I just pulled that out of my, pulled it out of the skillet, as it were. But what's it got to do with a guy being a reservist in Afghanistan? Only relevant to his job status. The headline should say, unstable man, or just man kills self over job quandary. How many guys are doing that every day in the United States, if you want to ask yourself? I don't know what the daily rate of suicide in the United States is, but I would imagine that of the suicides committed weekly, shall we say, I bet you a good third to a half of them have to do with employment. But Newsday and all the other clone services, all the other monkey-see, monkey-do news reporters in this country, they got to make it about this guy being in Afghanistan. And one more little bit of demoralizing news for the guys over there and for anybody in this country who is trying to support our country pressing forward in a very dangerous time. Now, let's demoralize everybody, and especially let's demoralize the men and women in Afghanistan and Iraq, because those are the people that are really getting it. And the biggest lie being told today is that we support the troops, but we just don't support their mission. You know what? You can't have it that way, baby. Either you support them or you don't. And you guys in the press, I don't know what you got against the men and women serving in Iraq. I don't know why you hate them as much as you do. They were over there protecting your worthless rear ends while you were riding around embedded. And if you'll pardon the expression, maybe the FCC doesn't want me to use that, while you were riding around being embedded and you were reporting the news badly, and you were butchering up one of the major stories of the 21st century, and you were just generally carving up that news story, which would have been, to another generation of reporters, it might have been the opportunity to really propel yourself into a higher levels of your career. But the news media in this country, as I've mentioned, took the war in Iraq and butchered that so bad that I don't know how any of those guys can come out of their homes in the morning and show their faces. I mean, it was embarrassing. I don't mean embarrassing as in, you know, you were really bad guys. I mean embarrassing as you looked inept. Inept and silly. Now you turn around, and because everybody gave you heat about that, you decide you're going to demoralize the men and women in Iraq and spin stories about a guy committing suicide as if it has something to do with his service in Iraq. Because, let's face it, he's a war criminal, right? Isn't that what you guys are saying? You guys at Newsday? You guys in the news media, aren't our guys a bunch of war criminals? Come on, go ahead, say it. They're killing innocent civilians. What else is it? Isn't that what's being said? Sure it is. They're killing innocent civilians. That's a war crime. And that is punishable. You should be put on trial, court-martialed, and punished. Hard labor, 75 years, whatever the hell they're giving guys. Because there's innocent civilians being killed, as we are reminded day in and day out, week in and week out, unrelentingly. Somehow the fact that Al-Qaeda butchers up innocent civilians and that the, whatever that resistance is they got going over there with the 1,000-pound bombs, I think it's called the Iranian Secret Service, but in any event, as if they aren't killing civilians. One of these days, you guys are going to learn how to do your job again and start really reporting. Who are the people that are really killing the innocent civilians? They got rags on their heads. That's who they are. But you cats are suffering from some kind of a disease. It's called, I can't be Carl Bernstein, so I guess I'll just make up the news as I go. As in that guy from USA Today, that Kelly, he's making up the news now. They had that Blair kid at the New York Times. He's making up the news. Are you people believing this? Thank God I don't read the USA Today. That it's such a freaking rear-end wiping rag. Excuse me, I'll probably get fined by the FCC for that. That they give it away. I mean, you can get they're going to start sticking the USA Today under windshield wipers. And now they got a guy making the news up. Are you guys so pathetically self-hating because you're not Robert Woodward and Carl Bernstein that you're now just carving up our men and women in Iraq with your lousy reporting? Every last one of you guys suck, and I mean from the top down to the bottom. And when I say bottom, I do mean bottom, as in birdcage.
Pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Thanks, bud. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show will be back. PHS at philhenryshow.com is our email address.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
R.C. Collins coming up tonight on our show, a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. Basketball, no good, man. They want to get rid of it at their school. Should they begin getting rid of it at schools across the country when ice hockey is more a contact sport, more impactful and perhaps better training? And Vernon Dozier on respect for Little League parents. I got some stuff here, and then we'll move on very quick, but you got to hear this, because you just got to hear it. Now, you can put your hands over your ears. You don't have to hear it, but you're going to want to. According to our sources, and I ain't saying what they are or who they are, but let me tell you, we got sources on this show in the Middle East that are impeccable. Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri, you know this piece of garbage they got holed up in Pakistan, activated before the Spanish attack a Moroccan psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Abu Haviza as their main point man. Al-Qaeda is now working with a psychiatrist. Why? The advice he gave was for an operation to profoundly scar the Spanish psyche as opposed to sheer numbers of dead and injured such as the World Trade Center attack. One that would generate the right climate for the Spanish electorate to turn away from the conservative Aznar government and opt for the socialists who were committed to pulling Spanish troops out. This guy, this Dr. Haviza, predicted the downfall of Jose Maria Aznar. It would set off a domino effect that would knock over Britain's Tony Blair and unseat Italy's Silvio Berlusconi. The next U.S. ally to face an election is Australia's John Howard. George Bush has called Australia's John Howard his sheriff in Asia. This Al-Qaeda psychiatrist has calculated that the Madrid shock might cause even this staunch supporter of the Bush administration in Iraq to crack and remove the 850 Aussie troops deployed there. The first objective was easily accomplished. The government of Madrid played into Al-Qaeda's hands by its clumsy attempts to cover up the true perpetrators of the attacks and unconvincingly finger the Basque ETA. But it is Bush himself that bin Laden is gunning for. Wrecking his chances of re-election would bring down the last domino of the Al-Qaeda offensive. Now that's quoting directly from our sources in the Middle East. Now one more thing. John Kerry is a candidate who is not producing a lot of passion in Democratic voters. I was probably the first of Democratic Party members to say, you know what, I ain't all that passionate about this guy. He's also starting to chafe under the impression, he's chafing under this image that he has of being a soft touch for Al-Qaeda, as being a soft touch for foreign leaders. Kerry's a little upset with that. He called a Secret Service agent a son of a B-word today. And I don't think it was so much that he was angry at that guy. I think the man is upset with the fact that there was a perception of him as being a light touch, as being a real softy, as being Malaysia's man, as being France's man. He's gone so far as to say, I am no longer accept. I don't want any endorsements from any foreign governments. Who the hell do you think I am anyway? He's toughening up a little bit. If what happens that I think is going to happen actually happens, which is two things, a terrorist attack either in Britain or Italy and one here, Kerry will never pull our troops out of Iraq. You can kiss that one goodbye. Never. As a matter of fact, I don't even think it's going to take a terrorist attack. I think all it'll take is a continuing downward trend of the stock market right after Madrid, guys. That stock market is still plummeting. We're going to be down below 10,000 points here pretty quick. That ain't George Bush's fault. That's Al-Qaeda. That's what happens to the market when terrorism is perceived to be unchecked, unbridled. And when it was perceived to have been under control, you might remember, we got above 10,000, we were on our way to 11,000. Presidents don't matter so much as the perception of the world economy and what's happening in the market. You want to talk about your paycheck, and you want to talk about whether you got a job, and you want to talk about all of those nice things. You have to look at the world reality that we're living in right now. And what we're living in right now is a world that has reacted predictably to another terrorist attack, this one in Madrid. The economies are going to start to suffer. The price of oil is going to the roof. Inflation is going to dampen whatever economic recovery we're in. And we're going to be back looking at our nation's leaders saying, how come after the Gulf War and after the Iraq War, gasoline ain't a buck a gallon? We're going to get a little angry. And that's going to mean one of two things. Either Kerry hasn't got a snowball's chance in hell of being elected president, which right about now I think his chances are less than good. Or when he does get elected, he's going to be a lot more of a bad blankety-blank than a lot of you light-touch Democrats out there want him to be. He's not digging right now his international image as being France's man. He's not digging right now his international image as being the guy Al-Qaeda would prefer. He's not digging it at all. And I think you're going to see out of this guy in the coming months, some talk that you, if you closed your eyes, you'd swear it was George Bush. You think I'm kidding? Stay tuned. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So there's a woman that was on the Apprentice TV show, and Trump said, by the way, Donald Trump's trying to now copyright the phrase, you're fired. Uh-huh. Hey, Donald, if you're successful at doing that, I got a list that I'm going to copyright of stuff that we've come up with on this show. And the first thing I'm going to do is, United Airlines, if you guys think you're getting away with a Ted airplane, you are sadly mistaken. The Ted airplane is ours, man. Ted's of Beverly Hills is ours. There is a law, I believe copyright law recognizes precedent, so if you've used it enough times, no guy can come along and say, well, it's now, it's mine. No. Yeah, dream on, Phil. I could get a few million out of them. Yeah, dream on. Time I get done with United Airlines, they'll be bankrupt, finally. When are you guys going out of business? Please. I don't mean that a lot of people should be on the street, but, you know, I mean, if one airline's got to go, either that or put some smiles on your faces for a change. It's just anything. You guys at United Airlines, I don't wish anybody ill. I don't want to see anybody's business go belly up. But, you know, I realize everything's tough, but I got news for you. Put a couple of smiles on your kisser. And if it's too tough for you, go back to your job working as a conductor on the Casey Jones Express. Put on the little funny hat, sit in the caboose, and go, "Bud, next stop, Cloverdale." Ex-apprentice star stands by N-word claim. Oh, is that right? Fired apprentice Omarasa Magnagali Stallworth, hated by some of her fellow cast members, got plenty of love Thursday at the Ebony Magazine Awards Luncheon. Now, Manigault Stallworth was fired on March 4th. She was rather polarizing on the 16-member cast, apparently. She argued with a lot of her female counterparts on the reality show, in which contestants are vying for real estate mogul Donald Trump's favor, right? And get the dream job of a lifetime as his year-long protege. It's probably like grabbing him coffee. I don't know. It's probably like something like Charlie Sheen had a relationship with Michael Douglas in Wall Street. Hey, sport, let's go play some racquetball, huh, sport? Something like that. Anyway, after she was fired, she's an African-American, she claimed another contestant called her the N-word. She claimed that Erica Vetrini called her the N-word, and Vetrini has vigorously denied the allegation, as have executive producers. In an interview, Magnagault Stallworth, the former political consultant, said her experience showed the problems of racism in corporate America. I know that there's racism. I've seen it. I heard a guy yell the N-word in the Las Vegas airport about a year and a half ago as I was getting off the plane to go do our remote. Some stupid cracker who just flew in from God knows where actually yelled out the N-word at one of his friends to the point where I said something to the guy. All I said was, hey, you know, you got to watch using that word. And I hear, sorry. I know that there's dumbbells. I see the garbage pit behavior of people every single day in this world. I have no doubt that the N-word is a part of people's vocabulary all over America. But you know why I think this woman's a liar? Because something doesn't smell right about this story. First of all, let me tell you. First of all, use of the N-word, especially in the higher levels of, shall we say, our society, such as corporate America, the more moneyed areas, there's a real awareness as to corporate behavior with regard to race. We might have not have gotten the message clearly in terms of sexual behavior, but race behavior, there's a real strong, strong awareness. Doubly so on a television show. Now, this woman, this African-American executive, sounds like one of these people who sees her moment. She sees her shot, and she's going to milk it for all she can. Now, she got fired off the show, but that doesn't mean she has to waltz off the stage. It doesn't mean that she has to lose the spotlight. No, what she can do now is bang a stick on a garbage can lid really loud until it irritates someone. I know, say that someone called me the N-word. Now, there are many African-American people, maybe most, who react to that word and should in a negative way. But they also react to it so negatively that they're willing to believe each and every story of racism that they're told by another African-American person. Many times you're being lied to. Oh, yeah, how do you know, white boy? Well, you know what? I know. Let's just leave it at that. I think this broad is a liar, And I think that this is another example of what I call the Tawana Brawley syndrome. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm bringing that one up again. That's right. Oh, now I know you're a racist, Henry. Am I really? Well, guess what? Al Sharpton just had to pay out in a slander suit to one of those cops that he said, that Tawana Brawley said, or one of the, not cops, excuse me, one of the men that he said and Tawana Brawley said, a few other people said, raped her and smeared her with feces and all of this stuff. That little girl lied. She lied because she was told to lie. She was used by a group of nefarious individuals to promote an agenda having to do with race and politics. And as it turns out, one of the men who was accused has been awarded money. The grand jury and a jury trial in the civil libel suit looked at the evidence again. It was absolute preposterous crap. The medical evidence, all the way on down the line, the guy had to pay out not only Sharpton, but two other guys to this man who had been slandered, okay? So I think Tawana Brawley, I guess she's 25 years old, she's a young woman now. I'm sorry, young lady, but you were a liar too. So you're a racist, right, Henry? Yeah, okay, I guess that's what it is. Whatever you want to say, all right? Whatever you brain surgeons want to think, that's fine with me. What, do you think I'm going to change your mind? You think I'm stupid enough to think I can change your opinion? I'm going to make you look like a real idiot if you said Tawana. Like, what's that line in Spike's movie, Do the Right Thing, and he's got the big thing spray painted on the wall? Tawana never lied, or Tawana told the truth. That's it. Yeah, okay, Spike. You know, you are one of those guys that is absolutely brilliant behind a camera. How about staying there? Just stay behind a camera, Spike. Every time that guy opens his mouth, nothing but dumb comes out. When he makes a movie, brilliance flows across the screen. But when he talks, oh boy. So just remember, just one, you don't have to believe me. This is just coming from a white man. This stuff about every time someone says they were called an N-word, you know, sometimes it's just a load. Sometimes it's just one large load of crap. This woman's a liar. Nobody called her the N-word. She had an opportunity to become hot stuff. She's got a racial chip on her shoulder, and I've met a lot of black folks like that. They are just ready to jump down your throat as the Ku Klux Klan member of the year. The minute you, like, arch an eyebrow at them, they think you're a racist. I had to deal with this in Minneapolis. They got a columnist back there who's black, and I did a black impression for her. Oh, from that point on, I was a racist because she's a humorless, dour, you know, whatever. Frankly, she's kind of boring to read, too. But in any event, you know, I had to deal with this. Every now and again, you run across some black person without any sense of humor whatsoever. And that's fine. Maybe I don't get it. Maybe I don't understand the hundreds and hundreds of years. I think as white people go, I got a better understanding of what African-Americans went through in this country and abroad and during the colonial period than a lot of folks. I read history. I happen to involve myself in a community. Whatever. But I'm not going to trot out my credentials. I'm just going to tell you. This N-word baloney, this lady saying that somebody called her this name, she's got a piece of the stage and she don't want to get off the stage. Donald fired her, okay? For whatever reason. Maybe he's a racist. But he fired her, and she didn't want to get off the stage. She had a piece of the spotlight, and she's hanging onto the lamppost. They said, get out of here, okay? You're boring. You're strident. You're angry. You're not the least bit entertaining. You're dull. Get out of here. So she says she was called the N-word, and she's learned more about racism in corporate America. Well, let me tell you something, lady. Maybe you're just a loser. Have you thought about that? She was on Leno. She was on Fox News. She's caught, you know, she's all over the news. I mean, she's all over the place like dog poo-poo.
FCC.
Can I say dog poo-poo?
I'm sorry, you're fined and you're going to prison.
Thank you. So, now she wants to get her little piece of the stage. Well, guess what, baby? You're off the show, all right? And you're a dull creep to boot. And so now she's saying, and now the Ebony Awards are giving her the big accolade. Let me tell you something about Ebony Magazine. They gave out an award to Winnie Mandela as Woman of the Year back in 1990. You know who Winnie Mandela is, don't you? She murdered, tortured, and brutalized her fellow South African citizens to the point that her own husband, when he got out of prison, had to distance himself from her. But Ebony Magazine and all of their genius gave her Woman of the Year. Hey, nice going. When are you guys going to learn? Let me tell you, I know all about how stupid white people are. Believe me, I know. I've heard their racism. I've looked in, deep into their eyes and seen absolutely nothing. I've looked deep into the eyes of the smartest white man, and I've seen just, like, you know, just a wind blowing, man. So I know all about how dumb my white friends are, okay? Now, that aside, you know, there's a few black folks out there that are full of crap, too. Now, where's Sharpton going to come up with that $65K? Oh, you mean all those appearance fees from being on Hannity and Combs? Okay. Coming up, a walk down memory lane. This is going to be a beautiful thing. We're walking down memory lane on the Phil Henry Show. And it's from who? Who is the character, Janice?
Dr. Jim Sadler.
Dr. Jim Sadler, as requested by one of our listeners from September of 2003 on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Let's listen, shall we? No, I'm kidding. It's time now for a walk down memory lane. This is a request from one of our listeners for a bit of recent days, or one deep in the past. Hey, Phil, says this writer, I'd like to hear when Dr. Jim Sadler talks about helping handicapped people on the freeway by flashing his brights and blasting his horn. I especially like the clip, Don't Mess With Me, I'm a Wrestler. But the part that cracks me up is when he says something like, outside that car, you're a freak, but inside that car, you're just like the rest of us. Thanks, Ken Dayton in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Well, here it is, Kent, from September of 2003, Dr. Jim Sadler.
Hey, Doctor, I wish the hell you were driving behind me and give me your horn like that. Oh, I'd pick up steam.
That sounds interesting.
I'd have you on my back bumper, and I would jam my brakes and have you rear-end me. I don't know where you got your license or how long you've been driving.
What are you doing in the fast lane not moving over? You're supposed to move over for faster traffic.
How fast do you want to drive?
Marty, you are not allowed to use that lane as a cruising lane. That's a passing lane only. So you must get over for faster traffic. Where are you from?
From Florida.
Now, where are you from originally?
Canada.
Yeah, just as I thought. You clowns wouldn't know a car from an ox cart from a...
Okay.
Hey, idiot, I could drive circles. I could drive circles around you backwards.
All right. Hey, Marty,
and if you see the size of my arms...
Marty, stay on
the
line.
You'll also move over.
Marty,
I don't have to antagonize anybody because I'm also a wrestler.
All right, Marty, stay on the line and let me... Because Lloyd's on the line here. Lloyd, you're on with Marty and with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Yes, sir. I've been listening to this guy talking about coming up behind... And if he came up behind me, I've got a Winnebago that I take up to my daughter-in-law's in Portland, Oregon, twice a year. I'd hit the brakes, and I would love to look at what's left of him when they pulled him out of the car.
First of all, with a Winnebago, you shouldn't be driving 75 miles an hour.
What are you? Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Marty.
Well, I want to talk to the doctor.
I'm right here.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let me say to both of you gentlemen, if you jammed your brakes on me, I'd put you in a human torture rack. You guys would both be torches. You'd light up the night.
Oh, is that right? You know, if you were here in front of me right now...
Please, I have big arms. I'm ripped. Do you know what it's...
Your arms don't bother anybody, because I've also got big arms.
You said...
I wrestled for 14 years.
Where?
In Canada.
Oh, that's small potatoes.
Potatoes. Where are you from, by the way?
I come from Houston, Texas, the land.
You're a big potato.
Big time wrestlers down in Houston.
And listen, I don't want to talk about a lot of homosexuals.
Wrestling is nothing.
You know what the Boston Crab...
I did it for many years. I've got big arms.
Do you?
And that doesn't impress anybody.
Do you know?
You have to be a little bit human with common sense when you're driving a car.
What's a Boston Crab?
You don't
crab?
Come up behind anybody and blow the horn the way you do.
Let me ask something. Do you know what a slingshot power bomb is? No, you don't. I do. I was a former wrestler.
Well, can we... Wait a minute.
What does wrestling have to do with it?
Yeah, exactly.
When someone gets a look at my guns, they're not going to be... They'll get out of the way.
You know, you are talking like a child. We are not racing, and we are not trying to impress anybody
with the
size of our arms or how fast you can drive.
Hey, the only size I care about is what I got swinging between my...
All right, can we hang up on that man, please? Because I...
Well,
the man's an idiot.
Flying corkscrew clothesline is what I'm going to lay on any lady, crippled or otherwise, that tries to keep me from my appointed rounds.
No, you have to get the police department to follow people like this and give them driving lessons or tell them how to drive.
So
but hell, you don't come up behind anybody with your high beams, blowing horns, because I don't go for that.
Look at that. See? That wouldn't get you to move over, huh?
If I have to move over, I will move over. But
well, there you go.
Like a gentleman.
Now, when I do
like
that,
an idiot.
When I do this
will only create an accident.
That means you have to move over. Right here. Get over. Not only would I high beam you, I'd hold my pinky finger out, and then I'd say, oh, yeah, just like the Macho Man.
All right, get out of here. There it is, a walk down memory lane. Whatever. Dr. Jim Sadler, with his well-muscled arm hanging out the window, people will move over. That guy was so cool, that dude from Canada. Did you hear that guy's voice? Hey, act like a gentleman in the car. All right, so if you have a walk down memory lane you'd like to request, all you have to do is send us an email at philhenryshow.com. It's PHS at philhenryshow.com. PHS at philhenryshow.com. Coming up, we have R.C. Collins. He's a cadet at the Bradley Military Academy. They are asking that basketball be removed from the curriculum and ice hockey be installed, I guess, or instituted, because they don't feel it is proper training for anybody who is preparing to fight and defend this country, fight for and defend this country. Vernon Dozier, who is a former minor league baseball player, and he feels if any parent should butt in to the activities on the Little League field, it's guys like him. All the other parents can keep their big mouths shut. So that's coming up with Vernon Dozier on our program. By the way, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD contains clips like the one we just heard with Dr. Jim Sadler and others like it. And if you want to get it and you'd like to have it for yourself, for your listening, or for a friend or a fan of the show, remember that all the money we raise from the sale of The Death of Talk Radio, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. You can go online to our souvenir shop, and buy it there. And while you're in the souvenir shop, we have a selection of merchandise in our souvenir shop that is unmatched anywhere in the world of radio. I mean, I don't know what everybody else is doing with these stupid radio websites they got, these cats with their show websites. We've got some stuff. We got the Teds of Beverly Hills stuff. We got the Citizens of Zuri Police stuff. We're coming out with a cooler / radio combination for Father's Day that you ain't going to believe. So go to our website, check out the souvenir shop, get our CD, and help the kids at My Friend's Place. www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. Is that a high school, R.C.?
No, sir. We don't really describe it as a high school as much as we do a preparatory military academy, but it does cover grades 9 through 12, which are commensurate with the high school grades, yeah.
All right. Now, you want, and you have a petition with other cadets to eliminate basketball from the curriculum at Bradley Military Academy, with particular attention paid to the fact that you don't think it trains cadets for ultimate service in the military and defense of the United States.
Well, this really started after the revelations about Allen Iverson and most recently Jason Williams, and also it started when I was talking with some other cadets about how basketball is not perceived by a lot of the cadets as the most masculine sport as some others. And
well, what do you mean by masculine?
Well, really, what we're talking about is mental and physical toughness. Basketball is a soft sport, and as a military cadet, training to defend my country is a manner that will most likely require you know, great physicality. And basketball is, again, is really gay. It's running and jumping and bouncing a ball. And it's,
well, when you, okay, let me, if I could jump in, when you say it's gay, it's not very descriptive, okay?
Well, what I mean is, it's just running and jumping, and it's not anything you'd be proud to say you did. If you're, for instance, in Iraq, and you have just gotten in country, and you're assigned to your unit, and you're ready to go, and, you know, as a lot of us like to say, you're ready to go out into the bad bush and start some trouble, you don't really necessarily want to say, oh, yeah, I played basketball. And
all right, now, I don't know what that term, you know, when you say it's not masculine.
But what I'm trying to say is kids in this country have been embarrassed long enough.
So that's what I was getting. Are you saying that it's an embarrassing sport as a cadet and nothing that is taken seriously?
Where you leap and run, yeah.
Now, you approached the athletic director there, Captain Campbell?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
To replace basketball?
Yes, sir.
How did that come about?
In light of the disgraceful behavior of basketball players, in light of the fact that basketball is not really perceived as a very masculine sport, we asked that during the off football months at Bradley Military Academy, and by the way, we would certainly be willing to go off campus and speak to other campus groups about eliminating basketball from the program. We asked if we could be allowed to organize and have the school sponsor an ice hockey squad to represent our school regionally.
All right, so you feel ice hockey better helps you tune that part of your body and mind, which you say you need for soldiering. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Explain that.
Well, hockey is simply more aggressive. The players are tougher physically. I don't know if you saw the news of a couple of hockey players what got into a fight on the ice in Vancouver, Canada. One of them got their neck broken. Now, for all of the fights I've seen in basketball, you really never heard of one man breaking another man's neck with one punch. And I deplore unprovoked violence, but also I've got to, you know, I could go either way on it. Admire the mental toughness and the coaching that goes into executing a sport such as that. I think hockey,
in other words, it's an admirable sport, one that can teach you how to, with one punch, break a man's neck.
Again, you need to understand what it is I'm training my life and my body for, and that is to defend my country. And for those who don't really understand what it is to be a soldier, what we ask with the greatest of respect is just get out of our way and let us do our job. And to force us into less than masculine pursuits, which is gay and which we don't think reflects the best of the military academy. I think hockey is far better, prepares the American soldier, whether he be Marine, Army, Navy, or Air, than this game of basketball, which is embarrassing. And
well, you describe basketball as a game that's simply of leaping and jumping and running around. Isn't it also a game that is one of hand-eye coordination?
Well, you know, I get all the hand-eye coordination training I need on a firing range. They leap and they bounce a ball. And I frankly can watch my little sister and her friends do that, because my little sister and her friends leap and bounce balls, and they leap around when they play tetherball or what have you.
All right, R.C. Collins is a... And what grade are you in?
I'm a J2, which is akin to a junior in high school.
All right, you are a junior and you are a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. The number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Really, what we're talking about here is just whether basketball is as masculine a sport as hockey, right?
Well, it really is not so much that debate as we don't want to be forced to continue to be seen playing a non-masculine sport like basketball.
What is it about hockey that you admire, other than the fact that you can punch a guy and break his neck with one punch? Is there anything in hockey that is going to help you be a soldier, a better soldier than basketball? Because violence in hockey, the fist fighting in hockey, is something they're trying to get rid of.
Well, yes, sir. There is the inevitability, though, of heavy physical contact by primarily white people. And while there are a great many black soldiers in the military. Of the officers are primarily white. And that...
Well, I don't understand what race... But the American soldier is a well-trained soldier. He's not lacking, it would seem, for anything in the masculinity department.
Well, you know... Now, Mr. Hendry, I'm second to none in my admiration for the American fighting man or woman. But right now in Iraq, we're getting a pretty good black eye. And a lot of the cadets that I'm talking to now are getting pretty, you know, PO'd about it. And we want to do something. And
well, I wouldn't agree that we're getting a black eye, but even if we were, you'd think, you know, you think it's because as a country we play basketball instead of hockey? I mean, this has got more to do with alliances.
No, sir, I'm simply saying concentrating on playing a sport that emphasizes more direct physical contact, mental stamina, and doesn't have, for players, a lot of lowlifes. I'm sorry, I'm bitterly sorry that it took the Canadians to show us the way, and that hurts more than anything. I'm a soldier, I adapt and I overcome, but I gotta, speaking up instead of not, I think can save a lot of lives.
R.C. Collins, he is a junior at Bradley Military Academy. The Canadians have had to show us the way, huh?
Yes, sir.
With hockey?
Yes, sir, because of the fact that I don't think we're getting the kind of toughness we need.
All right, R.C., one of the things about basketball, you mentioned that we got a lot of hooligans in that game, and there's probably a lot of hooligans in hockey for all I know. I mean, I don't know how many guys have been caught and how many guys haven't, whatever it is they're doing. It is a physical sport, you're right about that. Basketball, on the other hand, has been practiced by a great many great Americans, but played by a great many great Americans. We got Rhodes Scholars.
Well, with all due respect, that's not being a soldier in Iraq, and also...
No, but I know it's not being a soldier in Iraq, but I mean, we're talking about Bill Bradley, played for the New York Knicks, went on to be a U.S. Senator. He's an Oxford scholar himself. We're talking about a great many men who have gone on to great achievement.
And a lot of them, probably most of them have not, well, I don't want to say most of them, because I don't know, but a lot of them have gone to prison, and you don't see hockey players go to prison. Yes, they do be criminal, and there's a lot that is criminal, but most hockey players don't go to prison the way basketball players do. As a fighting man in the United States military, I must, and I think I need to emphasize this, I must be a man of exemplary character, and it cannot happen while I'm playing a hooligan sport that tolerates lowlifes and scumbags, and also is, in my opinion, you leap and you run like you're a girl in it, and that's why hockey, we think at least we can spend our months in the off football months pursuing a sport that I think is more deserving of the American military cadet.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show as we speak with R.C. Collins about basketball being eliminated. And the other thing he said to Janice is that he wants to, if possible, speak to other school groups about getting rid of basketball on their campuses as well. Is this a trend? Is basketball really not the masculine sport that we think it is? Does it simply appeal to hooligans and lowlifes? And on top of everything else, does there have something... He mentioned something having to do with race here now that I mentioned. He says that primarily white people play hockey. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the triumph of intelligence over ignorance. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with a military cadet, R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. It's located in Altadena, California, about what he has described in a couple of print interviews as the feminizing influence of basketball on our military. Now, you are playing basketball currently at Bradley, correct?
Yes, sir, we are.
And you are saying that it is, and we're going to get to some phone calls, but you are saying that that kind of feminizing influence cannot help you in the theater of war.
What I would say and what we propose to Captain Campbell, who's our dean of athletics, is that you don't see in the fighting man or woman the bean pole type person you see in basketball. Okay, when's the last time you saw a 7 foot, you know, minute ball looking dude, you know, rushing a machine gun nest of skinnies or ragheads? Never. That's because you can't. There's no way that could ever be. But hockey has the physical type and physicality that is most consistent with the American fighting man. And also, we have got to stop sending men over to Iraq with this feminine type of background, or we're going to continue to be filling body bags.
I don't mean to condescend, but you're very young, son. You're how old?
Well, with all due respect, Mr. Henry, you can take son and, you know...
All right. Now, let's not be angry at each other.
Well, I prefer not to be called son.
All right, sir. You are how old?
Yes, sir. I'm 16 years old.
All right. You speak with a certain cavalier manner when you're talking about filling body bags.
Well, you know, I don't know what you know about it, but I, you know... I'm ready to eat my own guts. That's how much I'm ready to go to war for the America.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Suzanne. Suzanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins of Bradley Military Academy.
Hey, I just want to say to R.C., the reason basketball is a good sport is because it teaches teamwork. My husband has got back in July.
Can I interrupt you? I was not aware I'd be speaking to... Any women?
Well, these are callers of mine.
Okay, I'm also an Army veteran.
It's funny how you just pulled that out right now.
Basketball teaches teamwork, which is what the military needs
and inspires.
Yes, you do have to talk to her. She's a caller of mine.
Hockey, the Army doesn't, the military, not just the Army, but the military
doesn't want...
the attitude or the aggressiveness that hockey teaches you.
Well, ma'am,
basketball is a very demanding sport.
Well, ma'am, very demanding sport. Hopscotch, I'm sure, was very demanding. If you look back on your past, you could say, you know, you were sweating up a storm when you did it. But compared to other sports, it's not. And again, when's the last time you've seen some beanpole-looking mother, you know, in uniform? You don't. See?
About 2 weeks
see?
Ago, because I've been on vacation.
Well, you don't see no 7-foot beanpole. And you...
Yes, wait, you do.
Some of those Special Forces guys are huge.
They're not
very tall.
They're not 7'4" and all minute ball and everything.
As a matter of fact, they are. I served with a guy who was 6'9".
Again, you've got me on the phone with a female. And
she's an Army...
Pardon me, but what's wrong with a female?
No comment.
You're insulting a whole class of people.
No comment, ma'am. I don't mean to insult you, ma'am, but let's face it...
No, you're not insulting me. You're insulting America.
Let's face it. When it's time to go off and make some trouble, they always send in the swinging...
Let's watch our language, too.
I apologize, sir.
No, they don't always send in. Do you know how many females we've lost?
Two?
What do you mean, two?
I'm just guessing.
No. I don't know the exact number.
It's probably two or three.
Please.
Well, the one that we lost, she got a flat tire or something, and that killed everybody. And then another one, I don't know what she was doing, like getting her hair done or something. And
come on, don't be insulting, man. You know,
well, was it in a theater of combat, or were they...
Well, some of them were driving supplies... And we're hit by, guerrilla forces?
All right, four.
Four?
I can't give you an exact number, but it's more than that. We've had...
All right,
we have a lot of...
All right, Suzanne.
Ma'am, I'm sure you did very well for our country by making sure the generals have a lot of butter for their rice, but what I'm trying to say is...
What do you mean, butter?
I wasn't a cook. Top secret clearance.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Suzanne, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you very much for your service
to our country. 1-800-449-8686. Lou, go ahead. You're on with R.C. Collins.
R.C., man, you have got to be kidding me. What are you, 5'9", 160 pounds? You got to be scared to get into the paint was someone 6'5", 240.
Oh, yeah? What about standing in the crease? What about standing in the crease with a dude who's got skates on that are sharpened up, razor sharp, okay?
Your physical attributes?
You know, you got to be a girl to play that game.
Listen to you. You have sat here and called out that sport as gay.
It is
gay. Listen to your voice, bro. Listen to your voice. You have yet to hit puberty, yet to see the right side of life. Let me tell you a little something about
physicality. I will not go to Iraq and fight for my...
Sorry, you're not fighting this. Man, you have not yet begun any part of your life to understand the physicality and the mental toughness, not to mention the teamwork. And isn't that what you're all about? Don't you have a team of men with you?
Of course. And
can't you work hand in hand with someone?
Well, sure, but I want to work. How about if I work hand in hand with somebody who is in a sport where you need to have some swing and you know what to play it?
Hey, let me tell you a little something about swing and you know what, man. I grew up a wrestler. I wrestled for Team USA for four and a half years.
If you want a game
other than your football, let me tell you something. Grab a hold of a wrestler and see what kind of a man you really are.
I'm sure I'm going to
walk out of there with two black eyes and a broken leg.
Wait a second.
Boy.
Are you telling me I'm going to grab some guy oiled up and roll around with him? You're kidding. Are you kidding?
So you lose your gun. You got to fight somebody hand to hand. This guy, this towel head, as you call him, is going to sit there and whip your little A. Man, you cannot handle yourself in some kind of hand to hand.
Are you trying
to tell me? Some guy 6'7", 240, is going to treat you like his little girl inside the paint.
Are you trying to tell me?
If there's a game, if there is an absolute game that you have to be physically tough, mentally tough, and in great shape to run up and down those courts, it is basketball. My father played college basketball, and he'd wear you out like a little girl.
You got to have me too. And to be oiled up wrestling with another man.
Oiled up? Where did you get your gay porn?
Well, wait a second. That's probably against the Bible.
Is that what you have to look at? I mean, I realize you have
Let me jump in.
Gay porn is out of it.
Let me jump in, guys. Lou's talking about an Olympic sport. He's talking about a sport that is in high schools and colleges across America. And he makes a very good point about
sport in the world.
Yeah, wrestling's probably against the Bible for all I know.
Oh, you
what?
Guys, are you kidding me? It's in the Bible, you moron.
Yeah, well,
what kind of education do you have?
So's Gomorrah.
They teach you.
So's Gomorrah and Sodom is in the Bible too, but you're not supposed to do it.
Man, you got to be kidding me.
This guy's
your
high.
Head, boy.
He's freaking high.
No, sir, I'm not high, and I resent that implication of the American
You fight. Must be.
All right.
You absolutely must be.
All right, Lou.
If you don't think hand-to-hand combat comes
well,
down
you know
to
what?
Wrestling...
Well, guys that wear leotards...
All right. Lou Hall, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with R.C. Collins.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm with R.C. Collins. He's a, what he calls a J-2 junior at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. They have asked that basketball be replaced on their curriculum with ice hockey in the off-football months. He says that basketball and other cadets feel that basketball is a feminizing sport, a sport that, frankly, weakens you, and that in order for us to win in Iraq and to maintain a military edge, the game itself of basketball is overrated. Are you working out right now?
Yes, sir, I am.
You're in the school gym?
We're the upperclassmen gymnasium, yes, sir.
And you lift weights, I take it?
Yeah, you might say so, yeah.
Are you built? Are you ripped?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so obviously your physical shape, especially with the big muscles like that, would probably be better suited for hockey, right?
Well, I'm not saying that I can't play basketball. I have played basketball. It is an interesting sport. It's a little too easy to throw guys around in that sport. I think that once you get the hang of it, that it's some guy who thinks he's, you know, Metal Lark Lemon coming down the court on you, going to pull up for a jumper. I mean, it's pretty easy. Hockey, on the other hand, I think is not so feminizing, there's not as much leaping around and everything and things that will be embarrassing for you.
All right, let's go to a phone call here. 1-800-449-8686. Wendell, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, where in the world did you, where'd you come from? Where in the world did you get that there's kooks and freaks and jail people in the basketball? Man, you need to get alive. You need to get alive. Played football, I played basketball in high school. I'm an ex-Army paratrooper.
Yeah, which sport
and
did you lose your team?
All this training and physical activities that I went through in high school and practically all through my life. I mean, you're far out. You're way
okay,
out.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Going to the military academy,
you lost your teeth playing a sport probably
like,
other
like
than basketball.
You're driving,
all right,
you're driving people crazy.
Hold on, we got to get. What did you want to say, RC?
Well, first of all, this guy lost his teeth playing some sport. I bet you wasn't basketball. What was it?
I didn't hear you.
I said, I'll bet you anything you lost your teeth playing a sport, and it wasn't basketball. Which sport was it?
Well, I didn't lose no teeth. I didn't lose nothing.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
you're sucking on your gums right now. I can hear the intake of saliva and air.
Oh, you're way out. You're way out.
You're the guy that wants to leap. You want to leap around.
You're so far out. I bet them other cadets there in the school that you're supposed to be attending. Oh, they laugh at you all day long and half the
well,
night.
Well, sir, I can tell you,
you're out in left field somewhere.
We petitioned our dean of athletics. You know what? I bet you could suck on a steak bone for supper, couldn't you?
All right, what's this going to turn into now? Insult City?
Well, his name's Wendell. No wonder he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He's got a girl's name.
Shoo. You're gone. You're out. You're gone. Where are you from, Mars or Venus? I mean, good Lord. You can't be from where you...
Where are you from?
Are you sure you're in a military academy?
Hey, what city are you from?
I'm from Tennessee, man.
Yeah, but what city?
I live in Crossville, Tennessee.
Well, it says here Frank...
What's that got to do with anything?
It says here Frank City.
Frank City? Yeah, I'll bet you live in Frank City, as in Frankfurt.
Man, oh man.
You ought to come over to our military academy. We can smoke some good green and get the lowdown on you. I bet you're not so, you know, rat-assed as you sound. What do you say, Wendell? Come on over.
Oh, man.
Hey, Wendy,
well,
I got some canned peaches for you to try.
I'd like to be a mouse in the corner up there at that academy and listen to them other cadets laughing at you making you sound like a fool, man.
You want to have a mouse in your what?
You need to get alive. You need to get alive.
You got to be kidding me.
Learn what life's all about.
I never heard a man say that he wants to have a gerbil.
Get back on the main track. You're on some side track somewhere. Going off in Wonderland.
What are you talking about?
Fairy tales or something.
You know as well as I do that you don't like basketball down there in Frank City.
You make it sound like you're the grace of that academy up there. You're a great disgrace to that academy up there. They're trying to teach people how to go to war and how to win war and how to.
That's
how to
what I
want to
do,
country.
Wendell.
And
but you want to know something?
You're talking like that.
You asked me what planet I was from. I come from Earth, but I bet you come from Uranus.
What a stupid kid!
What'd you call me?
What did I call you?
Yeah.
I called you a stupid kid.
Yeah. You're real brave on a phone, aren't you?
Oh, don't. Give me a break, kid. Yeah, I'm ripped. I lift.
Well, I do.
Yeah. I come from Earth, but I bet you come from...
Can't you say it? Or are you afraid of the FCC, the Federal Cookie Company?
What a brat. Ryan, go ahead.
Hello?
Ryan, yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. You said I'm on there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just think this guy is I think he's just having a cry for attention.
What?
It's obvious that if you were going into the military, if this is what our military has for a future, we're in big trouble.
Wait a second.
We're in big trouble.
What's wrong?
Hey, look here, blood. I'm a retired Marine, okay? And I have seen 6 foot, 7 foot young men in uniform holding their own. And I guarantee you one thing, you wouldn't last a day. I've not only put people in body bags, I've zipped up some of my buddies in body bags. And I played basketball.
You're just telling old war stories. I'm talking about the modern army. Hey, you're listening to yourself on the 7 second delay.
Okay, let me ask you, Ryan?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, turn your radio down, sir, because we can't hear the delay.
Okay.
Chad, I want to ask this young man, quit laughing, okay?
Why?
He's a disgrace. This guy, he's only on the phone with you right now trying to get attention.
Wait a second.
And his disregard for basketball is something different, is deeper than what he's saying on the air. You know, if you're on the air, you're trying to talk like a man, even though you have these childish anecdotes, you're trying to talk like a man. What is the real reason behind your dislike for basketball?
You want
exactly
to know what it is?
Who are you calling hooligans and criminals?
You know what I want to know what it is? I'll tell you. A lot of those people that play basketball are too tall.
You got to be tall to play basketball.
Yeah? Well, you ain't 7'8".
I don't know what they're teaching them. I don't know what they're teaching you in that academy,
hey,
young man.
Who do you think the hooligans are? Allen Iverson and Jason Williams. Take a wild guess. Yeah.
I don't know what they're teaching you in that academy there, young man, but you're missing class.
Right now, when I'm ready to go over in country and make some trouble with the ragheads, I don't want to be in no foxhole
right
with
now,
a free
first,
throw shooter.
First time, I guarantee you right now, the first time somebody busts open an M970 or shoot a round over your head, you're going to crap your pants and go crying home to your mama. Because you're talking a lot of noise, you're making a lot of noise, but you ain't ready to do nothing.
You sound just like
Jim
Brown.
You watch, your idea of war is what you see on television and what you see in books and on movies. And, you know, if you play war games at the academy with your cap guns and whatever.
Hey, wait a second. You sound just like John Amos, the dad on Good Times.
What are you talking about?
Is this John Amos?
That's what I'm saying, and that's
what
the bottom line is. Come with when he's talking about basketball.
That's the bottom line. You mean race?
That's exactly. I didn't want to go there. I'm waiting
race.
On him to say it. But every time he's talking about basketball, he's talking about metal-armed women, criminals, derelicts, and beanbowls.
You called the guy
what about Larry Bird, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. What can you say derogatory about Larry Bird?
He ain't never broken no law. And what do you mean, lemon meringue lemon? God, you don't even know the name of the players. That's sad.
Meadowlark Lemon is what the man said. He didn't say lemon meringue lemon. Listen, Ryan, thank you.
I'm not even going to waste my time.
I understand, sir.
I
thank you very much.
I swear to God, that's the dad from Good Times, and I know that.
Will you shut up? Dorothy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, hello there. Thank you.
Yes, Dorothy.
R.C., I know you don't like to talk to...
What about Leona Helmsley?
I know you don't like to talk to women, but maybe you'll listen to a few things. I have a lot of years on you. I have a lot of experience with knowing about war and military. Not in it, but as a military wife. Now, the point is...
Were you one of the Andrews sisters?
The military today depends largely on brains and not brawn. Wait, listen. Hey,
will you shut this kid off, man, and put him on hold so I can hear the lady?
Listen.
Boogie woogie bugle boy. Go ahead, ma'am.
What I'm trying to say is the military today, our military, is not a bunch of Neanderthals out there fighting hand to hand. Our military depends more on brains than brawn. It takes more education than it takes physicality. You can be a very,
very
small,
point.
Weak person and still be an incredible military person.
Yeah.
I don't know where you got your ideas. You're much too young to have formed these ideas yourself. You've been listening to the wrong people. And the fact is, your heart may be in the right place and wanting to defend our country. But the fact is...
Wait a minute, what is this?
Taps?
Sounds like
Why?
Taps to
Why are you playing taps?
for the death of your show. This lady just killed it. Yes,
it was a great radio show
until he put Dorothy on the air.
Okay, kid, I'm going to hang up. But turn that taps off.
Quit blowing, Eddie. Take your lips off it. Yes, ma'am.
Dorothy, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you, ma'am, and I think you're making some very good points. And I think...
Here lies Phil Hendry's show.
That's it.
All right, you know what, Dorothy, I'm sorry.
It was a great radio show, but... Eddie had to put that on. Hold your lips off it, Bob. Back on. Off. On. Off. Off. Off.
Hang up on him. Playing taps for the death of my show. R.C. Collins on why basketball feminizes people. When that guy's hormones finally kick in, give me a freaking call. Feminizes him? If that's the case, man, I'd get out of those basketball shorts. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous...
Great show as always, Mr. Hendry!
Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We have just received this in our newsroom, and we're going to get verification of this, but apparently hundreds of people in the city of San Francisco have been taken to emergency rooms having been stricken with humorlessness. Apparently hundreds of people who had come down with the symptoms of the disease that has been ongoing in the city for a number of years, unable to laugh at anything or find humor in anything or even laugh at themselves, have been taken to emergency rooms to see if they can't pump some laughing gas into them or some luffing gas, anything, any kind of gas. Just to have them admit that life is a gas, that'd be a nice thing. Hundreds took to the streets in San Francisco today in another humorless act protesting the war. They banged drums and they went, and blocked streets and did the usual boring, ever so dull stuff that they do on Market Street. Unable to smile or take anything with a grain of salt, hundreds in San Francisco called George Bush a murderer, compared him to Hitler, and otherwise induced yawns and sleep all across the city and the country. Being as usually boring as they are, hundreds protesting the war even went so far as to bring out this old saw, America is like the Soviet Empire in reverse. The humorlessness that has struck San Francisco can be cured, but doctors are saying probably the only treatment is moving out of the city and leaving it to, like, the mice and the cats and to, like, whatever old beatniks are still there who actually had some fun with that town. Yeah, they're up in San Francisco, and they're going down Market Street, and they're protesting the war. Why? They're not really sure. They couldn't really tell you, except the usual old Vietnam-era arguments. It's a big corporate war. Gee, that's original. Dragging out old copies of the San Francisco Oracle and the L.A. Free Press, they came up with these arguments. It's just a corporate war, rich people against the poor. Also, this gem was struck by a dullard standing at the corner of Market and Folsom. Hey, it's just a war for oil. Yes, the originality flowing out of that city ceased, about 50 years ago. Thank you. This is Phil Hendry reporting from the city by the bay. By the way, a very good friend of mine, Turi Ryder, was on the air in San Francisco years ago. She got canned from the radio station she was on at the time, KPIX. You ever heard of that radio station? It's a TV station, but there's a radio station. She got canned because the humorless clods that ran that station couldn't get into the fact that she said some very justifiable things about what a bunch of backward animals the Iranians are. Backward animals who are now actively funneling terrorists into Iraq, murdering Americans and Iraqis alike. Why don't you try taking me off the air for speaking the truth? The Iranians are funneling terrorists and weapons into Iraq, along with the Syrians, and are now actively taking the lives of human beings. They are a people who have allowed themselves to be subjugated by theocrats. So my friend Turi said this on the air, and the dullards that ran the radio station at the time blew her out of the saddle. Funny how history and life and current events come back to bite you in the rear end some 13 years later, or whatever the hell she was forced to work there. You know, I'm not putting down the people of San Francisco. I'm just putting down the clods of San Francisco. There's a large difference. The people of San Francisco are great, but the boring clods in that town, you better do something about them, man. Like, flush them out with some Drano, because they're going to clog up your arteries. They're like fat, you know what I'm saying? The whole town's going to have a heart attack unless you can't flush the fat in your arteries right out. And I'm talking about all these real dull, black T-shirt-wearing people with the... What's up with the mask over your face, man? What's the matter? You don't want your boss to see you? What is it with that? What are you, like, Sandinistas or something? Cat's down on market with a mask over his face. What's that, in solidarity with all them Palestinians who wear masks over their faces? You want to know why they're wearing masks over there? They're so freaking ugly. I mean, they'd stop freaking time with their kissers. Maybe that's your problem. Please send your money now to the Phil Hendry Show, and let's cure San Francisco of the terminal disease of humorlessness. Thank you. I'm James Earl Jones.
This is CNN.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You were led from the field by the police. I'm talking with Vernon Dozier. He is a high school coach. He is also the father of a little leaguer in the Sermont League. This is in Northridge. And you were led from the little league field last night where your son was playing. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Can you tell me what transpired and what your protest against little league, specifically little league in Southern California, but I guess across the country, is?
It is primarily because of the deterioration of Little League. They're targeting the wrong parents. I admit there are a lot of parents that don't know anything, but you have these parents who are involved in Little League right now who don't know anything about the game and are coaching the teams. You have these mothers and fathers who are working in the public address system booth, the snack shack, and the whole thing is completely out of control, and I was humiliated last night by the Mr. Dugan, who is the manager of my son's team.
Why do you feel you were humiliated?
Primarily because I think there needs to be a distinction between fathers and mothers who have no business involved in Little League and those of us who do. I played minor league baseball for 9 years. I was in the San Francisco Giant organization. I played AAA ball. I was a catcher. I played utility infield. So what I generally say to these Little League managers like Rick Dugan, who coached my son, I tell them, just please listen to what I have to say and try not to interrupt me when I'm telling you, because I played professional baseball. The problem is a lot of these guys want to tell you this, they want to tell you that.
Well, last night, let's get to last night. You were escorted from the field by Los Angeles police up in Northridge. Your son plays in the Sermont League, which is the little league up there.
Well, let me first say something.
But I want to ask you why this happened.
Well, number one, the L.A. police are facing a lawsuit from me. I played professional baseball at the minor league level for 6.5 years. I had walked over to Rick Dugan because I saw that what he was doing. I had told him not to keep the pitcher in too long. The batter coming up was a left-hander. He needed a lefty.
Now, are you a coach on the team?
No, sir. I'm a father of a young man on that team.
Because when you say you walked up, were you in the dugout?
No, sir. I was in the stands.
So you came out of the stands and you walked down to the dugout?
I walked down to the screen behind the dugout, yes, sir. And now, I had told this guy, you can't keep the pitcher in too long. The batter coming up was left-hander. He needed a lefty in there. I told him to get the kid out of there, and that's when he said to me something that I will be honest with you right now, Mr. Henry, and I'll be honest with you. Listen, I should have torn his face off for what he said. He told me to shut up and to go sit down, something that you'd say maybe to one of these mothers volunteering in a snack shack, but I'm not a volunteer in a snack shack, and I'm not up there pretending like I'm doing the statistics. I was a professional baseball player, 9.5 years in the minor leagues.
All right, you responded by calling him some kind of name. Is this correct?
Sir, the point I'm trying to make is the quality of Little League managers, coaches, players, the service personnel in the snack shack. I went for a Diet Coke. I asked for a Diet Coke. It took the woman a full minute to figure out how to get me the Diet Coke. The PA announcers sound like idiots. The fields they play on, my son plays the team, Chase Autovati, they play on a field that I would be ashamed to have a competitive team play on. And then you have the other parents who are as unknowledgeable about the game of baseball as you can imagine. Well, what happens? I'm the one who's asked to leave. I'm the one who's indeed escorted off the field by Los Angeles police. 7 years playing in the San Francisco China organization. I think the irony is it's just thick with irony.
I understand it, sir, but what did you call this man that would cause the police to have to remove you?
Well, I would ask you what you would call a man who totally disregards advice from a former pro ball player and leaves the right-handed pitcher in to pitch to a left-hander, one run down.
What did you call him?
What I called him was a stupid, silly little faggot, and I am not saying that that was proper, but it was nowhere near.
You called him a stupid, silly little faggot.
Yes, sir, I did, but it was nowhere near as bad as what this so-called manager was doing to this game. And again, I have to get back to the snack shack. They can't make change. The Little League is a mess. And
well, I'm just reading this from the police report, sir. Did you also grab your crotch?
No, sir, I did not do that.
All right, well, the police report also says witnesses saw you pinch or otherwise touch the breast of Mr. Dugan's wife as you were leaving, Kelly Dugan.
That is an absolute lie. You see, the Sermon League is a disgrace to Little League because they're all liars. And they've lied, and God, do they lie, and they have resented me because, for the obvious reason, I have professional baseball experience.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. I just want to give a phone number out here, sir. I will continue listening to your comments.
I wanted to make the point, sir, that...
But let me just give them 1-800-449-8686. The question, the comment you made is that there are parents do not belong interfering with the game, but some parents do.
Parents have ruined Little League. I mean, you read the stories about them getting involved and sticking their big, stupid faces into it. And, however, there are some of us who they should listen to me. I played professionally in the San Francisco Giant organization. Additionally, when I go over to the snack shack to get a Coke or a bag of Skittles or what have you, and they're sitting there trying to figure out how much change this, and they're keeping the money in a cardboard box, not a cash register. And then the PA announcer got my son's name wrong, and that's a double for, that's a double for Jason Dozier. And no, it's not. It's a triple. Or, that's a putout. No, it's not. It was an error. I mean, they're stupid. And I wanted to tear the face off this guy because he said to me, sit down and shut up, when I played in the San Francisco Giant organization.
All right, well, Mr. Dozier, you were on my show today, and you were on the other radio shows today. I see you're going to be doing the Bill Handel show on Monday. What is it that you want as the result of this experience of not being taken seriously by the coach of your son's Little League team because you have this professional baseball experience, and also your complaints about the women that work in the snack shack, and also your complaints about the other parents who really don't know anything about baseball, and your general complaint that Little League baseball is a mess?
What I want is to return Little League to a time when baseball and teaching baseball mattered. The parents who get involved as coaches and umpires and the snack shack and I don't trust any of them, okay? Let me tell you something right now. I don't trust one of them because I think they're liars. And that is proven out by the fact that he said I grabbed my crotch as I was leaving. And no, sir, I did not. And they have little to no business being within hundreds of miles of a baseball diamond. But when I come along with my professional experience, 9.5 years in the San Francisco Giant organization, in AAA baseball and AA, we are simply saying, yes, keep the nosy idiot parents out of it, except for me and people like me who know something about baseball. And how many of us are there? Judging by what I see, very few.
All right, well, when you say knowledgeable parents, who are you talking about specifically?
Well, I think I played professionally in the San Francisco Giant organization.
All right, sir. Do you coach?
I'm sorry?
Are you coaching a Little League team?
No, I do not. I have of business. I'm an educator.
Well, then who's going to coach these teams?
You can find, apparently they're finding any idiot to coach the teams, because look at, you know, what they're doing. But
I have to say, sir, the men and the women who volunteer to help our little league, these are people that are maybe aren't the brightest baseball minds. Some of them are very good. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't know, perhaps. But when I walk up to this guy, Duke, and I say, look, Rick, you know as well as I do, you don't know your rear end from a hole in the ground about baseball. Take my advice and take this left-hander out. And he tells me, you know something, I've been listening to you long enough. Turn around, get out of here acting like he's all that, like he's high and mighty and all King Kong of baseball. Man, I could have torn his face clear off, and the police come and get me. Now, somebody has to step up to the plate and try to instill the traditional Little League, which has given these young kids a great game to play, and respect to parents like me, who know something, and banishing idiots like Dugan. And there's a guy, you know, I hear he's an accountant. Put him in the snack shack, you know, where he can add 25 cents plus 25 cents. Okay, that's two Almond Joy bars and a Diet Coke. How much is that? I would ask you that, sir.
I'm sorry?
How much is two Almond Joys and a Diet Coke?
Well, how much is the Diet Coke?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Two Almond Joys are a quarter of a piece. That's 50 cents. How much is the Diet Coke?
I think it was about 50 cents.
That's a dollar.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying.
And what did you give them?
They didn't make the right change. They couldn't get the Coke machine to work. The other thing that we want respect, if we're to bring back Little League Baseball to what it once was, is to respect guys like me. I played 9.5 years.
I know you played 9.5 years in the San Francisco Giant organization, but this is a man who volunteered his time for the baseball, for the Little League in your area. You don't have time to manage, as you said. You don't have time to coach, but you are coming down out of the stand and telling him how to do it. This is exactly what we're saying is wrong with Little League Baseball. Too much involvement peripherally from the parents, who should just leave it up to the managers.
And I agree with that.
Then why should you get to go down there and talk?
You cut me off when I said it.
Because of your professional baseball experience.
I would think that a man who played professional baseball, you'd have to listen to him. And this guy, Dugan, looks at me and says, "Get out, shut up and sit down." I could have come through the screen at him. And I was frustrated at that point because I had just gotten back from the snack shack. And I'd sent my daughter over with $5 to get some Almond Joys and some Skittles. She comes back, everything's messed up, the Coke's flat.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to put this caller on hold, Chris. Is Little League in that much trouble? This gentleman says that Little League is completely out of control. Yes, parents should not stick their noses in, but parents like him should be allowed to stick their noses in. He has professional baseball experience. He's also called into question the competence of the women who work in the snack shack, the people who are the PA announcers, the umpires, the coaches. He says Little League in America is a mess. And I tried to make the point, you know what, these people volunteer their time. Can we not at least give them a tip of the hat? 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Keep in mind also this Mr. Dozier, he wasn't arrested by L.A. police. But he was escorted from the field after he called the manager of his son's team a, quote, stupid, silly little faggot, end quote. Witnesses say that he also grabbed his crotch as he was leaving and touched inappropriately the wife of the coach of the team. He denies both of those allegations. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You are, I understand you're in a bar tonight. Is that correct?
Well, yes, sir.
And are you drinking because of this incident last night?
I am distressed over what happened, being asked to leave. I played professional baseball for 9.5 years in the San Francisco Giant organization. And
I heard that, sir. You keep repeating that.
Well, how many parents have played professional baseball, and how come I don't get to go down and talk to the manager, this guy Dugan, and tell him what's going on? you know.
Well, there are a lot of parents that are butting in, and it's really ruining baseball and Little League baseball. I guess they don't want people to do that.
Well, why can't I butt in if I played professionally? And
all right, if you played professionally, how does that give you the right to butt in when it comes to the concession, the women that work in the snack shop, the PA?
I have been around professional concessions. I have been around professional PA announcers. I've heard the best. I've heard at ballparks in the AAA and the Pacific Coast League, they've got tremendous concessions. But you go to Little League, and I mean, it is a joke. The Coke's flat. The Skittles are stale. The candy bars, they have a PA announcer, and I made the comment. I made a wrong comment, and I apologize.
Well, you said the PA announcer sounded, I'm quoting now, like a mongoloid, end quote.
Yes, sir, I did. I do admit that. But he owns the equipment, so they let him do it. They also run out of line to draw on the on-deck circle. I ordered a hot dog from one of these idiot women in the snack shack, and the bun was warm. The wiener was raw. To me, why can't I say something about it? I was in the AAA organization of the San Francisco Giants.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
If you could answer that question.
Sir, I'm going to let my callers deal with it. I do have opinions, but here is Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
This guy is an idiot. The key word here was. He was a baseball player.
Who are you calling an idiot? You calling me an idiot?
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? Then you're an idiot. How do you like that?
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, anybody that would call from the bar and make obscene remarks like you're making, these people are volunteering your time.
What obscene remarks have I made, ma'am?
You must think.
What obscene remarks have I made, ma'am, other than to say that.
You called the guy a stupid little faggot.
Yes, I did.
This guy, you know, you are a part-time father that gives the organization a very, very bad name.
Oh, really?
You know,
Let me guess. You work in a snack shack at Little League.
You know what, sir? I can add better than you can.
You know, sir,
I don't need to have a few beers under my belt to make a point.
I happen
obviously,
to be very distressed.
You know, I'm sure people just roll their eyes when you walk into the field. And you know who I feel sorry for is your children.
Boy,
they have
to
learn by example.
I was going
to
say
what
that,
a fine example that is.
Wait a minute. I played 9.5 years in the San Francisco Giant organization, and you're saying my son's embarrassed because his daddy played AAA baseball?
The key word here is was. You were a player. You're to be a father now.
May I ask you?
Be a father. Be a man.
I am being a man.
And teach your children right from wrong.
I told Dugan to put in the left-hander.
But he's the coach of the team. He gets to make the decisions, not
you.
But where does
he get? If
he
wants to be a coach, let him stand up and be a coach.
I get another whisper.
Put your business behind.
I don't have
time. Your children are number one.
I don't have time to be a coach. I've got
exactly. You don't even have time to be a father.
How do you know what kind of a father? You know something? The reason why I drink is because you sound exactly like my wife.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Believe me.
Exactly.
It'll be an ex-wife if you keep that up.
You know something, ma'am? I'm going to say this. Women like you cause men to drink.
Women like you cause men to...
You know, you say
I can't believe it.
All right, you say you're a pro in the snack shop. Add this. 2 bags of Skittles, 1 medium. This is exactly what I bought for my daughter.
Who cares? Who cares what you bought from your daughter?
If your daughter
had any education, she would know too. And what kind of father sends her there unattended?
Ma'am, it's the snack shack in a Little League park. Is she supposed to be afraid of you working in the snack shack? What are you going to do, molest her?
Well, you never know, sir. You never know.
Good. Then I'll keep my eye on Sharon there. We're calling from wherever you're calling from.
The things are, there are people out there that will molest children. So you never leave your child unattended.
She's going to the snack shack. I was talking to Dugan about taking the left-hander out.
Okay?
And you're telling me, and you can't even add 2 bags of Skittles and a medium Sprite.
I don't have to add. I'm not at the snack shack.
Wait a minute. What is the whole idea? Let me jump in. This is Phil Henry. What is the idea with the 2 bags of Skittles? I mean,
this was, and I brought the receipt with me. We got 2 bags of Skittles, 1 medium Sprite, 2 hot dogs, no mustard, and a coffee. How much is that? $8.54. Well, that's a filthy lie.
If it weren't for volunteers, you'd have no Little League at all.
You know what, ma'am? I would rather people not volunteer, and I could go and bring my own beer to the Little League game.
Bringing beer to a Little League game, that's not what you want to do, sir.
Oh, that's
well, get a load of you.
Example for your children.
Oh, you guys are trying to tell me I played in the San Francisco Giant organization.
Oh, so what? Who cares? It was. You are a has-been
that is living in the past. That's your problem.
This woman behind the counter at the snack shack said $8.54, and she's a liar because I went over and priced all of it. It came out to $4.75. She overcharged me.
Mr. Hotshot, Mr. I was a baseball player. Donate some money to the Little League. Volunteer your time.
Hey, lick mouthy mouth. Hey, do you want to be respected as a mother because you have experience? Then I want respect. That's
you
right.
You have no respect.
I want respect.
You have to earn respect.
You got
to
earn
obviously
respect.
Obviously, you don't know it.
And you called this man a silly little faggot in front of the other kids?
He told... Why is everybody turning on me? I'm making a point.
And no wonder
because you're an idiot.
Ma'am, I will say this with all due respect. If you were my wife, I'd leave you.
Thank God I'm not. I wouldn't be married to a person like you.
Well, let's just say you were. I would leave you.
I wouldn't be.
Yeah, but if you were, I wouldn't
I
be married.
Wouldn't be.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be married
wouldn't
to you anyway if you were.
I wouldn't be married to a has-been.
That's fine, but it let
you know,
it just
you're living in the past.
Okay, well, you got
you're
your
living
wish.
Way in the past.
Well, you got your wish.
I was.
Because if you were married to me, I'd leave you, so then you wouldn't have to be married to me, would you?
Well, honey, you wouldn't have a choice.
Okay,
it wouldn't have happened in the first place.
Well, but yeah, but then I would leave you, so you wouldn't have to worry about it.
All right,
well,
thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This gentleman was escorted from the field yesterday of trying to tell the coach of his son's Little League team what to do. The guy told him to shut up and sit down. He called him an offensive name. Mr. Dozier says he has a right because he played professional baseball. Why aren't they listening to him, the coaches of his son's Little League team? 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And you're telling me what to do.
I will tell you we're back on the air, sir. But I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm saying sitting and drinking while you're doing a radio interview.
I appreciate what you're saying, but I think on a Friday night, a man is entitled to a drink after he has endured what I have endured. My son, you know, I love my son very much. I've been called a bad father. I'm trying to help that team. And nobody wants to respect the fact that I played utility infield and catcher for the Tucson Giants, among other teams, in the San Francisco Giant organization, an organization that has been to the World Series twice, three times, actually, during its tenure in San Francisco.
All right, well, I'll tell you right now, we received a call from a Janet Williams.
I do not know the woman.
Well, she's from a little league down in Irvine, California. She said your son used to play in that league.
All right, I know who she is.
Well, let me tell the audience. Your son used to play in that league, and you were asked to leave when you spit in the relish jar at the snack shack because one of the other fathers called you a one-sacked has-been?
Okay, what do you want me to say?
Is that true or false?
It's true. Wouldn't you?
So you hocked one up and spit right into the relish jar?
You better believe it, yeah, and I'm very, very proud of that. Now, either they're going to take advice from me, and that snack shack will take advice from me. Because I'll tell you right now, they owe me $4, and that may not sound like a lot, but they're thieves.
1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Joyce. Joyce, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It sounds to me like this gentleman is trying to live vicariously through his child, and because he couldn't make it, he's just trying to run the whole organization when he has no business doing so. His role there is as a parent to be supportive of his... Excuse me, I can listen to you. Give me a break here.
Well, I played 9 years in the San Francisco Giants.
I've heard that 45 times in the last 20 minutes. So I'm well aware whether you played 6.5 or 7 or 9.5. But that doesn't make you anything in the Little League. The Little League is there for those children to learn gamesmanship.
I don't know.
It's
do they have baseball in England?
Not there for that father. Excuse me.
Well, you're from England, so how would you know?
I'm from New England, excuse me.
Well,
England.
You have a British accent.
No, the man...
I don't care.
The lady's from Maine.
Accent, if you were familiar.
She's from Maine.
Well, it sounded British to me. Forgive me.
Well, that's down east.
What do you mean, down east?
Down east, Maine. Now...
What?
Wait, you just listen to what the lady's saying, sir?
And I'm saying that this is not, your Little League is not Yankee Stadium. And I don't care what you've been used to, but boy, it must be tough to be your kid out there with you making an utter fool of yourself and being loved off and running around trying to be the coach. You're not the big you there. You're a parent. You're there as a parent. And these are parents working there for nothing, and maybe they don't get it right all the time. But does that make it okay for you to call somebody a faggot?
Ma'am, can I say something, please?
Certainly. Your turn.
Now, look, you old catcher's mitt.
Now, wait a second. Now, you can't say that.
I listened to this old bag. Now, I'm going to say what I want.
You're not calling people names, okay?
I played 12 years in the San Francisco Giants.
No, we already know.
You doubled it now. You started in a half an hour ago with 6.5 years. How'd you get to 12?
What are you off? You better get back on that oxygen tank. I think your emphysema's kicking in. Now, I'm going to say this.
You know what? My folks always said, them that can do, and them that can't talk about it. And I think, sir, you are having an awfully good time trying to talk a big game when you really ought to sit down and shut up just like you were told to. I've attended many a Little League game with my children and grandchildren because I am an old bag.
No kidding.
And...
All right, this does not have to be contentious.
Now listen.
And those
she
people,
sounds
those
exactly,
parents,
she sounds exactly like the woman that ripped me off for $8 in the snack shop.
Do you want to tell me what an awful wife I'd make?
Listen, the lady that ripped me off for $8.54 in the snack shack, who doesn't know what two bags of Skittles and an Almond Joy costs, is the kind of human...
She's putting in her time.
Well, that's the thing.
She's not out there criticizing the coach.
Exactly. And she's volunteering, which is what makes our Little League in this country go.
No, she probably doesn't have a big old cash register that automatically does it, just like the folks do at McDonald's who have to work with pitchers, which is probably what you're most familiar with.
Year after year, dead people turn up, and they're old people. Senior citizens who were murdered and they don't know who did it.
You having a hard time breathing?
Wait a minute. What is that supposed to mean?
Am I having a hard time breathing?
Yeah, you're gasping, or is it because you're just a little drunk?
Oh, so
and
you're one of these women.
What are you filling your soda cans with at these Little Leg games?
It's called Little League, not Little Leg. Now listen,
again,
you...
Again, that's my accent, and if you had any class at all... it's about time for another little report on how long you were in the sport league.
I was in 12 years in the San Francisco.
So they can't make it.
The San Francisco Giant organization, you old cleat. You were wonderful in Philadelphia Story and Adam's Rib, but you don't know anything about baseball.
Well, my God, is that a crime? Apparently it is in your world.
Catherine,
but you know, I've done an awful lot of reading about the various games and the benefits that they do for our children, and that is what the concern should be, not how big or little you were.
I think it's time to hit the
and
shower.
And you should not be reliving your own life by going down and telling the coach who he ought to put in and who he ought to take out. That's not your role. You're supposed to be a father.
Well, I hope you're happy, because later on tonight...
F-A-T-H-E-R, father, not coach. What's the matter with you?
Are you okay?
Listening to her voice is driving me around the edge.
Go ahead and say what you wanted to say.
Mr. Henry, I am now officially drunk. And the reason why I'm officially drunk is because of her. And women...
I can't believe it.
Right, you know
I haven't been accused of being the reason a man got drunk in a good many years.
Guess what? I'm going out to find a cat. Any cat will do, and I'm going to strangle it. And it's because of you. Thank you, and good night.
God bless.
The guy just hung up.
He did?
He hung up. He says he's going out to strangle a cat because of you.
That's hilarious. My God, that guy, individual.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the... Oh, hold on for a minute. Is he back? You tell this guy... Mr. Dozier?
Yes, sir.
Nobody hangs up on me and calls back.
You know what? All I wanted to say is, Joyce, If I still had my slider, I'd like to slide it right into your slappy pie hole. Thank you and good evening.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, look that one up.
I guess I would have to,
all right,
Mr. Henry.
All right, Joyce, thank you very much. Very good comments.
Well, may I make a comment?
Certainly,
about the
ma'am.
Little twerp you had on before this guy?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Well, it seems to me those folks who...
Hold on just a minute. Yes, sir?
Okay, how come she gets to talk about two topics, and I only get to...
You hung up on me twice now.
How come she... your turn, okay?
How come she gets to talk about two topics?
You know, that's probably how he acted when he played ball.
All right.
How come you get to do this?
All right.
How come
listen,
I can't do that?
Oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something really bad to someone's cat.
Oh, man. I think I don't want to talk to that guy. He's hung up on me three times. That was Vernon Dozier. He is drunk somewhere in, I don't know, somewhere, because he got asked to leave a Little League game last night, and with good reason. May I just make this statement to all of our fine Little League parents? Please, help those coaches out there. Don't second-guess them. What do you want now?
Where's that grandma? Because I want to kick her ass.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, on the peripheral edge of reality. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Bobby Dooley visited our radio show yesterday. Bobby, the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates, they called an emergency meeting to calm down the homeowners when they heard the news that in the year 2050, 50% of the U.S. population will be minority people. And she had to calm all the white folks down. Here's
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, you're stating, the U.S. Census is stating that this is going to be in about 50 years. This is not going to be overnight. So over a gradual period of time, more and more, quote-unquote, minorities will be entering into America. Our children are not going to wake up one morning and find eight more minorities than there were yesterday. This is something that will be over a gradual process. Second, I would also like to state that the U.S. Census has also done statistics, and those statistics do state that on average, that blacks and Mexicans have an IQ lower of anywhere from 10 up to 40 points lower than the average Anglo-Saxon. Okay? I would also like to state to you that by... This is another statistic.
So
before you get on a talk show...
So you agree with me? You agree with me then that when those black kids sit down, our white kids should be able to say, even though he's black and he might be dumber, I should treat him equally.
All people should be treated equal, but this is not about my opinion. This is about facts and statistics, and that's what I'm talking about this evening.
Okay, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Another fact is that if you take a group of
excuse me for 1 minute, Summer. Summer, excuse me for 1 minute. Would you please turn that music off? Would you please turn that off?
I don't understand.
Turn the music off, please. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Okay. I also just wanted to state that if you take a group of
people... Can I ask you just a quick question? Do you work in a party store?
No, I'm not.
Do you work in a party store? Do you
work? No, I'm in the medical field, ma'am.
Oh, because it sounded like you'd been around some helium or something. All right. Go right ahead.
Okay. If you take a group of people and you train them for something specific, and in your case... to help them to not be racist, which if you look in the dictionary, just quickly to all your listeners, if you look in the dictionary under racist, it means a race. We're all racist. I personally, I'm Anglo-Saxon.
Well,
you're
I don't
Italian.
Know. I don't
okay?
know what
that's,
that means. That,
you know, of course
I,
you don't.
I really
don't
know what
a lot
that
of
means.
Things mean, and I'm going to school you here real quick.
Anglo-Saxon.
You're putting blinders on children.
All right, let me jump in here, because, Ms. Dooley, I saw something in brochures printed for the Western Estates community. You are targeting the year 2045, which you and your husband claim is 5 years before the minorities take over. Western Estates is refurbishing their townhomes with mud ovens and simulated adobe wall coverings. Isn't that correct?
You know, Mr. Hendry, I think it's very unfair.
Isn't it right that you're putting mud ovens in?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, my God. What? You have Mexicans and everything. I don't understand.
Are you telling me you're putting mud ovens in your townhomes to get ready for the Mexicans to move in?
You know, the disapproval that I have gotten since I've been on your program from you and women like this one who think she knows everything.
You know, I'm not telling you what I... I'm not giving you opinion. I'm giving
you really do statistics.
Here's the one opinion I will give you, though.
Don't you think it's right to put a mud oven in a home?
I think that if somebody wants a mud oven in their home, they'll put a mud oven in their home, and it makes you more of a prejudging to a particular race for you to put a mud oven in a home with that pre-idealized thought that this person is going to want a mud oven because they're of the Mexican ethnic group, regardless of the
fact that they're in the United States of America. You know, you think you know so much. Do you know how to make a corn tortilla? No, I don't think you do. So before you leap, look. Oh, she's laughing now.
Well, what has that got to do with it, making a corn tortilla?
You know what, Summer, I want to say one more thing. The casting call for the Munchkins was last week. I'm sorry. Have your agent call us.
Jesus.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There she is, Bobby. And they've got those new townhomes with the mud ovens, so... You'd be looking into that one. That's from yesterday's show. A flashback on the Phil Hendry Show, and of course, part of our ongoing, ever enlarging, ever swelling, ever swollen comedy archives. Hold on for just a minute.
FCC.
Can I say ongoing, swollen, and ever?
No.
All right. Just checking in with the FCC every 5 seconds to make sure the English language is still acceptable, or maybe they'd like us to start speaking Munchkinese. As in, I got a mud oven. Do you? One final little thing from our exclusive sources in the Middle East, baby! Now, I want you to hear this one, because this is good. Now, I told you earlier in the show, Al-Qaeda is working with a psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Abu Haviza. Mr. Haviza is Moroccan. He is a psychiatrist. This is fascinating. He has reported directly to bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri, who is the guy supposedly the Pakis had locked up. Yeah, sure. Nice job, boys. In any event, he formulated over the course of several months a plan for both bin Laden and Zawahiri on how to best topple the Blair and Bush governments. This man traveled with a fake passport between Saudi Arabia and Pakistan for several months. He was also posing as a teacher in Fallujah, Iraq. And he formulated a plan that was put into action by bin Laden with the bombing of the train in Madrid. He predicted, after analyzing Spanish elections since 1982, that this small, relatively small operation, much smaller in comparison, say, to the World Trade Center, would be effective in bringing down the conservative government of Aznar, and I believe that's his name, and putting in the new socialist government. So phase one was a raging success for Al-Qaeda. The next step is most probably going to be the government of Silvio Berlusconi, who is the prime minister of Italy. And believe it or not, you guys are not, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but believe it or not, Italy's being targeted because of the Vatican and what bin Laden and these religious maniacs that he's associated with perceive as the world capital of heresy, the papacy in the Vatican. But also because Italy is also a very powerful ally in Iraq. After Italy, it's possible they'll go after Austria, but more important, because of Vienna being significant, but more importantly, it'll probably be England. And then, to quote the report, after knocking over one domino after another, he writes, we will stand face to face with the key domino, the United States. Now, what will that mean? Most probably then, the war will be brought once again to our shores. And seeing the success of the small operation with the Madrid train bombing, it may be that Al-Qaeda is planning a little party like that for us. And all the talk and all the arguments and all the discussion about whether Iraq was associated with terrorists and why did we go to war in the Middle East, that's all going to become so academic when we realize that all the metal detectors in the world, all of checking the shoes and all of that stuff, ain't going to protect you, man, unless you go after these rats in their rat's nest. However, John Kerry, I'm sure, is going to do a great job. He's France's pick. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.